Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 25th of October, recording at 9:50 p.m. And that's still British summertime for the rest of this week, at any rate, before the clocks go back. Well, it's been ages since I've done an audio, and I've missed them. I will be doing all of this, I'll be doing most of this week's audios, although not Wednesdays, when I have to leave a little bit early. Okay, first a quick look at the highlights here today. And Asian stock markets, where they were open, they were strong. Not least China, which surged once again on the A-share, pretty well all the Chinese indices. European stock markets were mostly firmer. They seesawed a little bit with the U.S. stock market, which was to the plus side for most of the day's action, although gains were pegged back by the close. Modest gains up to almost 0.5% for the NASDAQ composite, 0.25% on average for the Dow and the S&P. Long-dated government bond prices were a little bit firmer in Europe. They were also strong in the U.S. early on, but then were pegged back quite sharply as Wall Street rallied. And the U.S. dollar was soft, although it closed off its lows, but we've still got the euro up at 139.70. And we had the Aussie dollar get very close to parity once again against the U.S. The precious metals had a pretty good day here. Gold is back up to $1,339.65 as I speak. Platinum pushed back above $1,700. And palladium pushed back above $600, closing at 610, or it's trading at 610 in after hours. And in other commodities, well, they were all higher, I believe, except for lumber. Or all the ones that I have seen on the screen, I should say, were higher, except for lumber. And the industrial metals were really quite firm overall. The grain and bean complex was quite steady as well, and not least soybeans. And what else to mention here? Well, that's pretty much it. Say steady action in the commodities overall. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the blockbuster rally in stock markets, which really commenced in September from the lower side of trading ranges for the U.S. market and the European stock markets, that has continued, as has the very firm action by the leading markets, which had led all the way. Now, I regard those as crucial to the outlook for both the short and the medium term, and possibly even the longer term as well. In other words, as veteran subscribers will know, Owen and I place a lot of emphasis on trend leaders. Now, there isn't too much doubt as to what the trend leaders are in terms of stock market indices, and the main leaders have really been the South American markets, particularly the smaller capitalization South American markets such as Chile and Colombia, and more recently Peru, and the a larger block, which would be the Asian emerging markets, specifically the ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asian Stock Markets. We're talking there really Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore. There are a number of others, but those are the Philippines. Those are the main ones that we've been watching very closely, and of that group, Indonesia above all the rest. Now, a Fuller Money premise for decades is that the leaders lead in both directions. So when these stock markets began to push higher, the ones that I just mentioned, those ASEAN indices led by Indonesia, when they began to push higher, and we really go back to June when they uncoupled from Wall Street, and when Wall Street was testing its low, for instance, in July of this year, and got down close to 1,000 on the S&P 500 index, which incidentally is at 1,185 right now, and people were incredibly bearish. Those Indonesia-led Asian markets were actually testing the upper side of their ranges, was uncoupling, and I'm reviewing some of that in today's today's comment, largely because there was a golden cross signal that was given on Friday, apparently for the by the S&P 500 index. The Nasdaq did that at least a couple of weeks ago, and this had been cited by some people. It tells us what we already knew, in my opinion, that the market was strong, just as the dead cross that people were talking about back in the beginning of July really just told us again what we already knew, that the stock market was pretty oversold. So the point though that I want to make is that when those leaders, Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, Philippines, Chile, when they start to roll over, when they get upside failures, and they've just broken upwards once again, then I will be concerned about the possibility of probability of some mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving averages. That could easily be a medium-term correction, although I think it would still be within the confines of this cyclical bull phase, which is getting a little frothy for some stock markets, not least Fuller Money themes. They look fine for the moment, and I'm content to run with the action. Although I will repeat an old Fuller Money maxim that if you're worried about markets, if you think they've done too well, that's a time to maybe lighten on some positions. Or maybe a more practical, tactical move is to introduce trailing stops. In other words, you can use metal stops on this, but look at the charts in question where you've done particularly well, and it's gratifying. Even though I've been away on my U.S. trip, I was following all the comments on the website, and when it's very gratifying to see a number of emails coming in from subscribers talking about how much money they've made. But when we receive a lot of those, we know that markets are also a bit frothy. And so those of you who are in that position, you might look at some of those positions and look at the charts now while they're still performing, and say, at what level would I be unhappy about profit erosion? And if you can identify that level, I would suggest that's where you might consider coming out, and with either an actual stop or a mental stop, more likely. And if the market continues to move higher, well, you may well want to adjust that point at which you would book the profit upwards in line with additional gains. In other words, ride it on the way up, and then when that trend loses momentum, stand aside, if you wish. Or if you don't want to ride out, I should put it this way, if you don't want to stand aside, if you don't want to ride out a medium-term correction. I might do that with some positions, but certainly not all of my positions, because I do think the balance of evidence remains bullish overall, as I've mentioned repeatedly. Now, so okay, we have this short-term oversold. Oh, I beg your pardon. Let's start again. Short-term, we have this overbought condition, but that's been running for a while. And the market can stay overbought for quite a while, technically. I'm talking about short-term technical overbought conditions. It can maintain those overbought conditions for quite a while following breakouts from big trading ranges. In other words, that's the norm rather than the exception. And those who have attended the chart seminar, and Owen's got quite a good a number of delegates for this November's TCS, the chart seminar. But those who have attended the chart seminar learn in the congestionary analysis phase that breakouts from big congestion area trading ranges, big sideways patterns, in other words, are usually explosions. And fortunately, we are seeing explosions to the upside, and they are aided and abetted by low interest rates, monetary printing. That money is going to go somewhere, and most likely where it gets the best return, and that's been stock markets more recently. And it's been a very good story here overall. Okay, low short-term interest rates, all that money printing, and then I think there have been a number of U-turns by analysts who were bearish, analysts and investors who were bearish, who have been reassessing and jumping on board progressively since the beginning of September. Now, at some point, there'll be more or less fully on board in terms of commitments that they're likely to make anytime soon. And then we'll see some of these very orderly and consistent and powerful uptrends in stock market indices and, of course, individual shares. We will see, but the indices are best for monitoring the overall trend, I maintain. But we will see some upside breakouts from these orderly little trends that then fail, something we haven't seen, not certainly not since this impressive rally commenced in the beginning of September. And when we do get some clear upside failures, particularly by the leading stock market indices, that will be a sign that markets are losing momentum and that the risk of some mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving averages has increased considerably. Now, what about the various markets? Common sense is that the markets that have moved the highest during the bull phase will get reactions of proportion. Some markets that are doing exceptionally well or have over the last month, but had lagged a great deal previously, I'm thinking of China now, those China A shares. I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't 2006 all over again. Now, 2006 was a particularly bullish year for China. Maybe it won't be that strong, maybe it will be, but the overall pattern on China, which, as you might recall, was a very early base formation, forming mostly in the fourth quarter of 2008, and then completing and providing a world-leading rally for the most part until July and August of 2009, when the heavy supply in the form of initial public offerings and secondary offerings required by China, demanded by China for its banks as they were required to increase reserve requirements and to slow down the property market. Well, all of that is waning, as you know from earlier discussions from Owen and myself, and the stock market is unleashed and making a catch-up move, and it's right and logical that it should do so at this time. So China, one of the big Fuller Money themes that had lagged, is now very much back in form. What about other markets here? I don't want to make this audio too long. Overall, long-dated government bonds, dangerous territory in here. They're only hanging up here at these levels. I'm talking about bond prices. They're only maintaining these gains because people are convinced that the Fed's going to come in with more quantitative easing and support the market. Now, in other words, and if I reverse it and talk about yields, they're convinced that yields will stay low because the Fed will continue to capitalize banks through the yield curve by buying a lot of their own debt to keep interest rates low. That is such an overly reported story that I maintain that it's very long in the tooth, and that the risks in government bond markets and in so-called junk corporate bonds are growing exponentially. And I think there will be tears in that sector over the medium to longer term. Now, the Fed has its next meeting on November 3rd, and the statement regarding quantitative easing, and there's a good chance that they will say how much quantitative easing they are or are not doing, or give some indication, some guidance to that effect. And this may well be a case of it's better to travel than to arrive. What I'm saying is that markets that have done best on the anticipation of additional quantitative easing, precious metals, commodities in general, and a number of stock markets, they may well see a setback following whatever the Fed actually says. And I would watch that period quite closely. It'll probably only be of short to medium term significance, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get some contra trend reactions around that time. But there'll be more days to talk about that. I think that's Tuesday a week. Okay, what else to mention here? The commodity price inflation has certainly continued. That's had a great deal to do with the weakness of the dollar, but it's also had plenty to do with actual demand for these commodities. And in the case of some agricultural commodities, many agricultural commodities actually, I rephrase that again, most agricultural commodities, adverse weather conditions have been a big factor damaging supply. And that remains a medium term concern of mine. Watch also crude oil, which is trading in the low 80 region, because if this breaks upwards out of this range, and actually I think it's a question of when, not if, that when we see crude oil pushing up over $100 or so, that will become a headwind once again. So that hasn't happened yet, but because we're still in this sweet spot here where commodities and equities are performing, I am mentioning some of the things that will eventually bring this very good rally to an end, so that forewarned is forearmed, in my opinion. And on that note, roll on Tuesday. These are interesting times, and I hope profitable times for you. Meanwhile, it's good to be back, and all the best.